Well, good evening. I have followed Brother Lewis's advice to lay off the daily Bible readings and is focused on this one passage for about a week or two, so now I'm behind on my Bible reading, but maybe I'll be able to share some thoughts with you tonight that are encouraging to you. We'll be looking at 2 Kings 22 tonight. This is a story of Josiah. He's the youngest king to ever be a king in Israel. And I'm going to read this chapter in just a second, but I want to make a few comments. One of my thoughts about this passage, this is the passage where they find the book of the law in the temple. And the next chapter is Josiah's response to that, his reaction and response to that. So, one of our mentalities should be, Lord, show me and I'll obey. And as we approach Scripture, as we approach the challenges that we see in God's Word, we should have that disposition. Lord, if you show me, I'll obey. And so this is exactly what Josiah did. And one of the questions I have, I read through the Old Testament, is why does the Old Testament focus so much on the kings and the judges and the prophets? And there's probably a number of reasons, multiple reasons for that. One being that the theme of the nation of Israel is tied to the kings. And so when you see what the kings are doing, you're finding out what's going on with the nation of Israel. And one thought I had about why it may be that the kings are followed through the Old Testament is that to some degree, we're a king of our own lives, and we have a kingdom that we run in our lives. And so there's a lot of things that we can learn from leadership and seeing how the kings responded. And so I think that one of the questions that you have as you go through the Bible and you look at these kings, you say, was this a good king or a bad king? And it's usually summed up with, this king did evil in the sight of the Lord, or this king pleased the Lord. The things that this king did pleased the Lord. So there's some things to be learned about what it takes to please the Lord as we look at the kings. I know that sometimes that we're tempted to rebel when we realize our own kingship, realize that there are things that we can do because we have control in our life. But we need to remember that Jesus is the King of Kings and that all kings are subject to the Lord. And so you'll see that as you read through the Old Testament, these kings may have done what they wanted to do, but they certainly answered to the King of Kings. So one of the things that I see of these kings is that if they have a fear of God, they have a keen awareness of consequences. And this is exactly what happened to Josiah in this chapter. And so I'm going to read it, and then we'll talk about, bring out some points that I saw in this passage. One of the things that I would encourage you, I'm probably going to struggle over some of these names. Don't get caught up in the names. Get caught up in what they're doing and what they're being asked to do as we go through this chapter. One other thought is that as Josiah is 8 years old, you're never too young to start leading your own life and to lead yourself correctly in the eyes of the Lord. So Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, into the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that you may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hands of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpenters, builders, and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Hakam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Milkiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azahiah the servant of the king, saying, Go ye inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened to the words of this book, to do according to all unto all that which is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Azahiah went into Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalem, the son of Tikva, and the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in her college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, Tell the man that sent you to me, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Because they have forsaken me, have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say unto him, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast read, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spoke against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, says the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring on this place. And they brought the king word again. So this is a major event in the Old Testament where the book of the law was found. It appears to be Deuteronomy. It had been hidden for years. Josiah's father Ammon was an evil king. Ammon's father Manasseh was an evil king. They go all the way back to Manasseh's father Hezekiah before you find a good king. So he had not seen a good king. Most likely he had not even known Hezekiah, being his great-grandson. So there's some interesting things that we see. Josiah actually took initiative here to prepare the temple for worship. You can look over in chapter 23 and you see that there was so much idol worship. And this is one of the reasons that I got drawn to this chapter, is that we've got our young men are studying about idolatry. As I got drawn to this, I got drawn into chapter 22. I don't think we're going to have time to talk much about chapter 23, but it was the idolatry in the nation that was such a cursed thing to the Lord. And so as he prepared the temple for worship, it needed some major overhaul. So they brought carpenters and builders, and so not only had the Word of God been neglected, but the place of worship had been neglected. And so we think about fearing God and understanding consequences. You know, one of the questions that came to my mind as I saw that it had probably been generations that the Word of God had been neglected. I would ask this question: Have you considered the long-term consequences of neglecting God's Word? The evidence in these sections of Scripture are that there's God's judgment. There's idolatry that seeps in. There's a turning away that takes place, and long term, it is desolation was the actual consequence of neglecting God's Word. And so there was the initiative of Josiah is what caused them to find God's Word. I believe the Lord had it stored there, ready for them to find. They found it, they read it, they brought it to Josiah and read it to Josiah. And it says in verse 11 that he that he rent his clothes. And so the reaction of Josiah is significant here. And one of the things that we need to ask ourselves about God's Word is it missing in your life? Like we have it missing in the life of Josiah? Does someone have to bring it to you? Or are you engaged in pursuing after God's Word? Now, Michael was talking to me a week or so ago, and he said there's three questions you have to ask yourself when you're approaching God's Word, and I've thought a lot about this. You have to ask yourself, what does it say? Then you have to ask yourself, well, what does it mean? And then you have to ask yourself, what are you going to do about it? Now, granted that all Scripture doesn't necessarily elicit a response or an action, but sometimes we have to change our thinking. So it may be that our response is our thinking, but there is a connection between what does it say, what does God's Word mean, and then what are you going to do about it? And you can see that progression in this chapter. That Josiah heard God's Word, and then he went and he asked for his closest entourage to go and inquire of the Lord for him. So he wanted to know what it meant. And so when he found out what it meant, then he decided in chapter 23 what he was going to do about it. So I think it's important that we seek the Lord when we're asking, what does Scripture mean? Because unless the Spirit of God helps us interpret His Word and interpret exactly what He is saying to us, then we can get off base. And so Josiah made a really good move when he inquired of the Lord as to what the book of the law actually meant. So his reaction of rending his clothes, it says he rent his clothes, and I thought, well, somebody might think he rented his clothes. He tore his clothes, okay? So that means tear in Mississippi. So he tore his clothes, and the Lord came back to him and said, he wept before me also. So he tore his clothes, and he wept before the Lord. So he was his response was dramatic. This is the king of Israel, and he tears his clothes, and he weeps before the Lord. So I've thought a lot about that and what that actually means. And so I think that I have a tendency to get used to having God's Word. I've had it all my life. I've had access to it all my life. And so I think that having 20 Bibles in the house, you can get used to having God's Word. I think I can get used to hearing God's Word. I hear it preached 3 or 4 times a week. You can hear God's Word preached on podcasts. We hear God's Word preached in this pulpit. And we get used to hearing God's Word. And so I think that it's great that we have access to God's Word, and it's great that we hear God's Word, but I think that the consequence can be that we get used to not responding to God's Word. So when we see Josiah's response to God's Word, have you ever had a revelation in your life that was something that maybe you didn't know, you hadn't thought about, something you should have been taught that wasn't taught to you, and you get this revelation, and it's a rending of the clothes moment for you? I got to thinking if I had ever had that happen, and I don't know if it's necessarily a response to God's Word, but it was a response to God's work. When I was about Josiah's age, he was about 26 in this chapter here when this happened. I was 26, 27 years old. I found out after 12 years of public schooling and 4 or 5 years of college education that nobody had ever taken 15 minutes to tell me that our country was founded on Christian principles. And I had this book that had laid it out pretty clear, and I was so distraught over it that I had gone that long in my life without knowing that our country was founded on Christian or biblical principles, that I responded by, I didn't have any kids, but I responded by homeschooling my kids, so it may be that ill. So it was a rending of the clothes moment. I didn't actually tear my clothes, but I was pretty upset because I had gone so long without knowing that. And the evidence is stark, and anyway, I'm still a little about it. to go that long and be ignorant of something that important is a revelation that was just mind-boggling to me. So what Josiah was seeing is he had not been exposed to the Word of God here. Obviously, that it was hidden in the temple. And so when he did hear God's Word, he was so astonished, so torn, so upset by what he heard that he tore his clothes and he wept before the Lord. So when we have a moment like this, it's going to elicit a response. And so our response needs to be a godly response. We need to inquire of the Lord and seek God's direction when we have a moment like this. When we hear the truth in a way that we've never heard it before, we need to go before the Lord and seek His direction. It's exactly what Josiah did. So Josiah did something very interesting here. When he said, "Go inquire of the Lord," he did not go running off by himself and have a revival. he made sure that he was he engaged with those around him, and he actually engaged with a prophetess someone that had a word from God, and he received a word from God. But he he engages with the spiritual leaders in his life. The high priest, the prophetess. It would be real easy to isolate yourself if you had an experience with the Lord. I think that seeking the Lord through spiritual leaders is paramount in repentance and revival. We're not islands, and we need to engage with those around us. And I'll show you an example over in 1 Samuel 10. Flip over there, I want you to see this. This is 1 Samuel 10, verses 9 and 10. That's right, I'm in 2 Samuel. This is Saul, and we know the story of Saul and the conclusion of Saul and the sum of his life. But there's an interesting chapter here where Saul prophesied. He prophesied with the prophets. He's anointed as king in chapter 10. It says in verse 9, let's just read verse 9 and 10. God gave him a new heart, another heart. It says, and it was so that when he had turned his back. So I'm going to read the right verse. That's not the right one. Saul prophesies. Yeah. Turns his back to go from Samuel. God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came hither to the hill, behold, the company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. So he's having an experience with the Lord here. And then if you look at verses 15 and 16, he gets home after this whole experience. He's been anointed king. He's got a new heart. And he's been prophesying with the prophets. And in 15 and 16, Saul's uncle said, tell me, I pray thee, what Samuel said unto you. And Saul said to his uncle, he told us plainly that the asses were found. But of the matter of the kingdom whereof Samuel spake, he told him not. His uncle sent him out to find these asses that were had left the farm. He stayed gone for about a week. And he gets back, and he's had all this experience with God. And here's the authority in his life, and he didn't say anything about it. And I think this is the first step down the wrong path for Saul. So I would encourage you that when you have an experience with the Lord, that you share that experience with your spiritual leaders. And see over in chapter 23, Josiah went out and shared it with the whole nation of Israel. I think that it's important in our spiritual development. I think it solidifies God's work in our life. When we testify, we give testimony, it gives God glory and encourages the brethren. And I think we saw that when Elijah gave his testimony here about a week or so ago, and that solidified the Lord's work in his life. So that is something I think is extremely important, that we engage with the brethren, so especially our spiritual leaders. Do you not know that this is what your spiritual leaders want to hear? Do you not think it would thrill and encourage Brother Lewis to go and tell him the things that the Lord has done in your life? Nothing thrills me more than to hear the Lord's opened up His Word to one of my children they have repented or wept before the Lord. That would not be humiliating. It would be exhilarating. So your pastor wants to know, your parents want to know, your spiritual leader would want to know that the Lord is working in your life. So we can see how Josiah engaged. He went to inquire of the Lord to make sure he was hearing what he thought he heard. He wanted to make sure that this was of the Lord, and so he he did that, and he engaged all those around him, the high priest, and all the all of his court around him. There were about four folks that he engaged. And then he engaged the whole nation of Israel. So, because it's an encouragement for us to, while our relationship with the Lord is personal, that our testimony should be communicated and brings glory to God. So, we see Josiah's reaction, his rending of clothes, and his engaging with those around him, his spiritual leaders. There are some things in Scripture that require a reaction, a response. Brother Isaac preached this Sunday, you must be born again. What's your reaction to that proclamation? That requires a reaction. You must be born again. So what is your response to that, your reaction to it? Now, the Lord sees our response, and He rewards us accordingly. And He rewarded Josiah, and the reward is very interesting. Verse 20 says, this is the reward. He says, I've heard you. I saw you rent your clothes, and you wept before me, and I heard you. He says, behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I'll bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Well, the reward is he was going to gather him to his fathers. He's going to take him before the Lord judged Israel. And that's an interesting reward. It almost sounds like, I know in some cases when there would be kings that did evil, the Lord would remove them. He would take them. They would die. And so what he's telling Josiah is, you're gonna die in peace. And so that's your reward. You're not going to see the desolation. And while that doesn't sound like a reward, we're singing tonight. We sing about our reward in heaven, about being with the Lord. And I think this is evidence that really is a reward to miss out on the desolation. I know that my dad passed away before certain folks came into office, and I think that that was a blessing to him. So he didn't have to see that. And so I think that we tend to think in terms of the physical and the now, but I think this is good evidence that there is an eternal reward, and the Lord took Josiah at the age of 39, and this is why he took him. It was his reward to be removed before the desolation came. And so I'm going to talk real briefly about chapter 23. What happens here is that Josiah hears this. He hears his reward. And so his motivation is life. If he turns, if he can reform Israel, then I think maybe his hopes are he's going to do it. This is his response. He knows what's been done wrong. He knows that the idols, he knows that the idolatrous priest, the wrong thinking, the Baal worship is wrong. And so he is motivated to reform Israel. So he goes about a massive reform. And there are a couple of kings that did this. And Josiah, just quickly what he did was, the first thing he did was he made a covenant with the people. That's in verse 3, where he made a covenant before the Lord. And all the people stood to the covenant, it says at the end of verse 3. And the king stood by a pillar, and he made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart, with all their soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book, and all the people stood to the covenant. So he led the nation of Israel to make a covenant. And that's to the death. So a covenant to commit, to follow the Lord. And so it shows you how important leadership is, righteous leadership. National leaders will either promote life or death. It's just about that simple. And we've seen that in our lifetimes, that either life or death is going to be promoted. He's promoting life, and he has to rid the nation of some things that are causing the nation of Israel to stumble. So, now one of the things as leaders is that we have to hold a high standard. We have to hold a high standard as a leader in our family, in the church, in the nation. We have to hold a high standard. But I've heard Brother Lewis say this quite a bit. We need to be really careful about going beyond what the Lord has said, going beyond what the Lord has commanded. And this is something that takes tremendous wisdom, and it is it's actually a feature in the fall. And if you want to look over at Genesis 3, I'll show you this real quick. This is just an interesting little tidbit of how we need to make sure we hold a standard, but not go beyond the standard. And it's in Genesis chapter 3. And I'll just remind you that over in Genesis 2:17, the Lord is telling Adam, he says, you can eat from every tree of the garden. You may eat freely, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so when Eve is reiterating this standard to this law to the serpent, she says, God has said, in verse 3, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So here's an example of holding a standard that's higher than what God has commanded. And I don't know if higher is the right name for it. It may be that God's standard was polluted by a different standard, by imposing man's standard on top of it. And I'm sure that what Adam was thinking was, well, you can't eat it if you don't touch it. And so let's just raise this and say, don't touch the fruit. And so this causes some real problems with the conscience. I've thought about this quite a bit, and I thought, well, if Eve was to grab a hold of that fruit and she's touching it, she's not dying, then the next move is just eat it, because the first thing she's done didn't pan out. So it polluted God's standard. So we have to hold a high standard. We have to know, we have to inquire of the Lord to know what God's standards are, and hold the standard high, and make sure that we're not polluting God's standards. So Josiah's reforms are pretty aggressive, and just quickly, what he does here is he brings forth all out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal. It's in verse 4. Then he put down the idolatrous priest. And then he brought out the groves from the house of the Lord. He broke down the houses of the Sodomites, so he eliminated the perversion. He brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah, defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense. He defiled Topheth. He took away the horses that were given to the sun. That was some sun worship that was going on. In verse 13, he went after the high places which Solomon, the king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth and the abomination of the Sidians and Chemosh, and Milcom. And so he broke down all these idolatrous places that even Solomon had established. And then in verse 20, he slew all the priests of the high places. So he gathered all these priests up and he slew them. So my one thought there is that, let me make this clear, that when it comes to leadership, either the good guys are going to be making the bad guys miserable, or the bad guys are going to be making the good guys miserable. We can see that in our country now. The good is either going to be making life miserable for the evil, or the evil will be making life miserable for the good. It's just that straightforward. So as a good king, Josiah went in and he was making life miserable for the evil folks in the land. So one other thought about this is that when he tore down the idols that Solomon had built up and these places of worship, he's going after the high places that Solomon built. Dead men's words are strong, and to go after the falsehood of the dead Solomon is huge. He had a backbone to do that. So I don't know how much explicit detail the Lord gave him about what he was doing and what he did here, but it was clearly aggressive, and it pleased the Lord, and set Israel back on a good path. And so removing these idols was the right thing to do. I wanted to make one other comment about the law. I have been guilty of being caught up in legalism. And legalism comes from being zealous about God's law and then polluting it. And so I'm pretty familiar with that. And I'll give you an example. There's a law in the Old Testament that talks about not having steps going up to the temple. That's actual law. And so you look at that and you think, well, how can I apply that to my life? It must be wrong to have steps up to the church, steps up to the podium. If you look at the purpose of that law, it's to prevent nakedness, okay, if you fall down on the steps at the temple, okay? So you can see how you could take something like that and really go off on a tangent. And so that's why we need to inquire the Lord and have wisdom and understand this, that all the law is contained in two laws: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This contains, all the laws contained in these two. So I was thinking about this today, and I heard something on the radio that helped me really nail this, I think. If you love your neighbor and you love God with all your heart, and you love your neighbor as yourself, you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, you have fulfilled the law. And the way you fulfill the law is, an example of that would be, if I love my neighbor, killing my neighbor is not even in the works, okay? If I love my wife, adultery is not even a consideration. So if I love God with all my heart, soul, and mind, idolatry is not a problem. The solution to idolatry is loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Doing that is the challenge in our lives, is to be the servants of God, to be humble enough to love our neighbors and to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, And these illustrations in the King, 2 Kings 22 and 23 are an example of really the kind of reckon we should be doing in our hearts, that we should be rehabilitating our thinking and gearing ourselves towards a loving disposition, a loving heart, a new heart that loves God and loves our neighbor. So that is doesn't sound like Josiah was loving his neighbor when he slew the priest of Baal. But remember, good is going to make evil miserable. They're going to overcome evil, or evil is going to overcome good. There's a battle going on, and so we need to slay those things in our heart that are preventing us from loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbor as ourself. So that's my thoughts on Josiah. He was a good king, and some interesting things to think about. So I appreciate your attention tonight.